the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, finally, to a story that caught our eye during the week. McLaughlin's pub in Achill is looking for new owners. The pub, which has been in the family for 150 years, is looking for someone with the McLaughlin name to take it over and keep the name above the door. So when it comes to the Irish pub, what is in a name? Historian Dr. Nicky Carter joins me now. You're very welcome, Nicky. When did this tradition of putting the name above the door start in Irish pubs?
Well, it all goes back to us being a bit troublesome. In 1872, with the Intoxicating Liquors Act, the UK decided that it was a good idea to actually find out who owned these pubs. And the Intoxicating Liquor Act immediately said, everybody who owns a pub, you need to have the name over the door. Now, part
so
of this...
it was like regulation.
Yeah,
really.
It was. And if you look at the Act, actually, it's quite interesting because it's 1872, so it's just 7 years before the land war. And part of it is they must close at 10 o'clock. And if there's a riot in the town, they must close. It's all really about control. So that was...
So we need to know who to arrest.
Yeah, basically.
So it's
yeah.
the person whose name
yeah.
is over the door.
Yeah. It was all about accountability. So that's where it started. And then it just sprung from there. But I think one of the sad aspects of this is that we kind of lost some of the really funny names that were in Dublin at the time, like the House of Blazes and the Three Candlesticks, you know. And there, now, thankfully, we still have some brilliant names like the Brazen Head and the Bleeding Horse. But that was part of it, really, was to see who owned these pubs and who was accountable.
Because we have seen a revival of naming pubs with yeah. colourful names like that, which I would have associated more with pubs in England because they tended to have those yeah. kinds of names. And in Ireland, the pub was the surname. But prior to this act in the 1870s, yeah. we would have had a variety of those kinds of names.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And we still keep those, which is good. But one of the things really was the British really needed that if there was going to be a case against somebody, they needed to know who owned these pubs. And that was really what it was about. And you can see that throughout the act, it is really about kind of controlling it. And they'd been trying to do that for hundreds of years because they had tried with legislation before that that just hasn't worked. So this is the first one that actually works is in 1872.
My favourite old names I came across are the Sot's Hole and the Blue Leg, whatever yeah. that's about. But
the Holy Lamb is another one of my favourites and the Three Candlesticks.
But there were other things then that were introduced in law which brought, for example, undertaking services
yeah, yeah.
into the bar.
And you see, that comes out of the famine because in 1846, they really needed to find somewhere to put all the bodies. And the one thing that the pubs had was they had these really cold cellars. So they could put the bodies in the cellars. And in 1847, they had a Coroner's Act that could fine a pub if they wouldn't take a body. Now, this meant, unfortunately, for some pubs, it was quite dangerous. Like there was a undertaker slash publican in 1846 who owned the Dropping Well, and he actually died from complications because of exposure to carcasses, basically, to human remains.
But it seemed natural that with that law passed that a lot of publicans would go into the undertaking
Absolutely.
Business.
And particularly in small towns.
And that has prevailed in yeah. some parts
yeah.
of the country today,
yeah.
hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in Laois, and there was a town where there was a publican who was also an undertaker. And part of that is also they need to make money and they have the means to. I mean, some pubs, even in the basements, they would have marble slabs where they could do autopsies. And it was really about having the means. And I mean, there was some undertakers slash publicans who had about four other jobs. You know, there was one in 1889, a man called McCarthy, and he also drove a post van. He drove a hearse. He had drapers. They had so many different sort of strings in their bow.
And a lot of the common Irish surnames that were over the door in pubs here transferred to the United States
yeah,
with immigration.
Yeah.
And the Irish pub in America, yeah. it doesn't tend to have this unusual name. It tends to be the surname,
yeah.
Houlihan's or whatever.
Yeah. And mostly, I mean, about 50%, the Washington Post did a study, and it was actually 49% of the Irish pubs in America have a name over them. But they tried to do a bit of a correlation with the most common names in Ireland. And it seems to be that not that many Ryans went to America. They all seemed to stay here, and more O'Briens went to America than stayed here when they looked at the common names above pubs, which I think is really interesting.
The oldest pub in Ireland, never straightforward really, yes. When you say the oldest something, yes. Or the biggest something, yes. Or the smallest something. But
and actually that has a, RTE has a part to play because that they did a study here on Gerry Ryan's show and they figured out that it wasn't the Brazen Head, it was Sean's Bar in Athlone because they had the archaeological remains to actually win that contest. Which
so
I
how
is
old
really
is it?
900 AD.
900
AD. But the Brazen Head has the oldest graffiti, which is from the 1700s. So they still have something.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Dr. Nikki Carter, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. And that's all we have time for today. We're going to play out with a little bit of music. Today's show was produced by Aideen McLaughlin and Emma Laffin. Our broadcast coordinator was Owen Lubbers and Mark Dwyer was on sound. Until the same time next week, here's the Irish pub song. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Well, you're walking through a city street, you could be in Peru, and you hear a distant calling and you know it's meant for you. Then you drop what you are doing and you join the merry mob, and before you know just where you are, you're in an Irish pub. They've got one in Honolulu, they've got one in Moscow too, they got four of them in Sydney and a couple in Kathmandu. So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job, 'cause wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub. Now that design is fairly simple, and it usually works the same. You'll have Res or Houghton scoring in the Ireland-England game, and you know you're in an Irish pub the minute you're in the door, for a couple of boys with borons will be more than Christy Moore. They've got one in Honolulu, they've got one in Moscow too, they got four of them in Sydney and a couple in Kathmandu. So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job, 'cause wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub.